Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Everybody, quick introduction into today's episode. I'm so excited to have my guest, Bing Coomer. He's actually doing a tour of Ireland in the next month, so there'll be details of that at the end of the show. Ben's a nutritionist, an educator and speaker from the UK, and he's got the UK's number one health and fitness podcast, Bing Coomer Radio. Definitely check that out if you guys aren't on it. A great story. Ben was obese at 16. He had IBS, ADHD, and has spent the last 10, 12, 13 years basically just schooling himself and helping thousands of people around the world in a very entertaining way. He's got a great way with words and has a very, very dry wit that is that I much appreciate. So I hope you guys get loads of value from this episode. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited to introduce my guest on today's show, Bing Coomer, who's actually doing an Ireland tour of Ireland in the next month, so we'll have more details of that at the end of the show. Ben is a nutritionist, educator, and speaker from the UK and has the UK's number one health and fitness podcast, Bing Coomer Radio, which everybody listening should check out. Ben's journey started when he was about 16 and old and obese. He struggled to lose weight and suffered from IBS, ADHD, eczema, poor energy levels, and poor posture due to his lazy habits as a teenager. Over the last 10 years, Ben has helped thousands of people achieve their goals through his books, blogs, videos, and podcasts. He also has some great ramblings on social media, and I'll link all his platforms in the show notes. He now spends a large chunk of his time educating personal trainers and coaches via the Body Type Nutrition Academy, his online nutrition course, while innovating and teaching people about supplements at Awesome Supplements. He currently travels the world as a public speaker, has a combined total of over 100,000 followers on social media, and is on a mission to help change the world's health. He truly is a man with a mission. Welcome, Ben, and thank you so much for coming on.
Dude, thank you. Although the problem is, do I have to speak as fast as you today? Because... fuck.
Yeah, no, you're okay. My mostly Irish audience understand my speed. I'm going to try and slow it down. So it'll be a nice change in speed to have you slowing it down. awesome. Ben, you've done so much and I've been following you for so long. Is there anything I left out in that introduction that you want to tell my audience about?
Not really. We'll send them to sleep. Let's keep them awake. Otherwise, there might be crashes on the road. Grannies get crushed on zebra crossings. It won't be good.
Awesome. All right. I've given a little bit of a background on your fitness there, but what? Tell us in your own words, what got you into fitness and what led you on the path that you're on now?
Mate, like many other people, it was just my own journey. I was obese when I left school and I was on the career path to be an actor. And I just said to myself, look, I can't be an overweight actor. I'm not going to get the lead roles. I'm not going to be that alpha guy. I'm not going to be good looking to girls, like just loads of stuff. And I just made that decision to say, I need to change. I need to lose the weight. I need to get fit and healthy. I want to be fit and healthy. And I went on a quest and the quest was tough. Like, I remember leaving school and I spent about the first 4 or 5 months just not losing weight. I was running, I was eating what I thought was healthy food, and I just wasn't losing weight. And I said, right, I need to change something. So I joined a gym and I just very giftingly happened to fall in the hands of a good trainer who's still a friend to this day, Ben Gray. And he told me to read a book, How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy by Paul Check. I read that book. And I read it in a week and I just applied it from day dot. Lot more natural approach to nutrition, loads more fruits and vegetables, kind of a bit more at the time of a kind of a paleo approach to nutrition. Started to lift some weight, started to do some different stuff. And I just lost 4 stone in 4 months. It fell off me. And then I was like, yeah, I really like this. And then I was sort of battling between continuing to be an actor, traveling. I was set to go traveling all around Asia and stuff, which I ended up doing. And then I came home and I was like, right, I'm going to do this fitness thing. And then 10 years later, I'm still doing it.
That's awesome. That's one of my favorite books as well. I've mentioned that on the podcast on numerous occasions. Love Paul Check's stuff. There's so much in there. And now that you say that, I actually can see a lot of your nutrition stuff. There's a lot of overlap with that. Mm. So one of the things that I talk about on the show as well is someone as successful as yourself, your podcast, your speaking, your online presence, everything. Normally, again, this isn't always the case, but people normally start their day with a morning ritual or have something that sets them up for the day that normally kind of leads them into success. What does the first hour, hour and a half of the day look like for you?
The important thing for me with my first hour is that it's my first hour. No one else gets it. Not my girlfriend, not my dog, no one. I wake up. I usually go outside because it's cold. Cold air helps wake up the body and mind. Then I come in and put the kettle on. I might make like a decaf cup of coffee or a fruit tea or something. I don't drink caffeine in the morning. And I always schedule my first task for the day. Now, I work from home. I'm self-employed. Even if I was traveling, I would be saying to myself, what do I need to do today to help other people do their work? I have a team of people, so I have to help other people do their work as well. What project do I need to do? So for me, it's about doing what is most important in that first hour of the day to make my day what I would deem a success.
Okay, I love it. Very. Have you read Gary Kelleher's The One Thing?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's
a great book.
Yeah, very, very similar approach to it. That's awesome. When do you train then, Ben? When do you do your own training? Do you do it in the morning, evening, or whenever you've time?
It's usually late afternoon. I usually work from like 6 in the morning till then like 4 or 5. Then I'll go to the gym. If I'm playing in season rugby, then I'll go to the gym at about 6 and then play rugby. So it's kind of late afternoon. I like to do my work day quite often, train and then go out for food, do rugby, whatever. Some evenings I work a bit late. But I do have a fairly rigid structure, but my work comes before my fitness because I know my training, like, and this is, I suppose, an interesting perspective I have in fitness right now is, you know, a lot of training for people is quite obsessive. And I like to have a very flexible training program. A lot of people are like, right, Monday I do this, Tuesday I do that, you know, Wednesday is legs or whatever. For me, that creates anxiety around something that I have to do on a certain day. So for me, I program a flexible training program. So if Monday, if I can't train, it's fine. I'll train tomorrow, and I follow a training program that doesn't mean that I have to have 7 days to get something done. So I'll quite often schedule my training around 4 days, because for me, that's always going to be doable, whatever I'm doing in my life, however busy I am. So Monday, I might plan to do a lower body training session, but I might do it Tuesday, and then I'll just do my upper body training session on Wednesday and rest on Thursday, for example. So I like to try and teach that to people because life is always going to throw you a curveball. And also, I hate training. Like, if I'm following a certain plan, I hate training when I don't really have a lot of time.
Yeah.
I like to kind of relax around my training a bit, know that I've got a good hour and a half, I can get into the gym, warm up properly, not skip stuff, get a good session in and work out. And if I'm like, shit, it's Monday, I've only got 40 minutes, I know I'm not going to enjoy the experience of training, which is something that I want to enjoy.
Yeah.
So I have those rules for me around training to make sure that I get the most out of my body and always enjoy it.
Awesome. That's great advice. I'm actually very, very similar to that. I like having my window that I've got most of my tasks done, or else I haven't set up my day and I've done the training session, give myself an hour and a half and enjoy it.
Mm.
What's your favorite type of training? This is just curiosity for myself. What's your favorite type of training? Do you like high intensity, hypertrophy, strength and conditioning? Would you have a preference?
Mate, I have training ADHD. I did an excellent podcast on this with Christian Thibodeau. He's a great guy. Get him on your podcast. You'll really enjoy it. And he talked a lot about personality traits in training. And I don't like to stick for anything for too long. And I think that's why I play sport. I like challenges. I like movements. You know, I'm more than happy to follow a strength training program. But after a month, I want to change. I want to go back to high reps or running. And I'm kind of enjoying a lot more cardio now. Like, I haven't got this kind of beast at the back of my mind that's saying, Ben, you're too skinny. You need to get in the gym and lift weights or whatever. I'll lift weights 3-4 times a week and I'll go for a run. I've just bought a canoe, so I've started canoeing at the weekends down some local rivers. So I think now I don't have this kind of pressure or anxiety on myself to look a certain way. I kind of just enjoy training for what it is, which is to enrich my life and not rule my life.
When did that change? When did you make the shift from training? Because I can't speak for everybody, but I know a lot of us get into the gym and training first to look better, for to, you know, get a girlfriend or to look more attractive to the opposite sex or whatever it is. When did that shift change for you? If assuming that you that was your reason at the beginning, when did that shift that you're, I'm training now for me, for my mind, I don't really care how much, how I look. When what made that shift for you?
Yeah, I think when I was kind of, you know, I lost all the weight and I wanted to kind of keep getting in shape. And then there was a point I was really skinny. So I went from 16 stone to 10 and a half stone. And then I was like, look, I need to build some muscle. I'm like a wafer in the wind. And playing rugby at 10 and a half stone is really hard work.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I kind of went on this pursuit to build muscle and I reached about 13 stone of muscle. And, you know, for where my genetics are, I'm not going to gain a great deal more. There is room, don't get me wrong, but not a great deal more. And I kind of looked at that and I was, and this is something else I like people to do, is I just like people to be honest in why they take action on certain things. And I just said to myself, look, why do I train? Right now, I'm not training for a particular goal. I don't want a certain size pec or legs or whatever. I train to enjoy it. So I want to lift weights a couple of times a week. I want to play rugby. I want to go outside. I want to run with the dog. And I think it was around sort of 27, you know, I suppose, and we all mature into this, right? You know, I got a long-term girlfriend. You know, I was looking to buy a house. Work was a key thing for me because I was reaching a point in my, you know, life where career was important. I was setting myself up for life. And, you know, it was no longer about being obsessive about training. I needed to create some kind of slack in myself. So I think it wasn't one thing. It was a culmination of things. And I think everyone can start to do or have their own journey with this as long as they are open and receptive to those kind of changes and are always objective about why they do things and what it means to them.
Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. I just want to take a quick 90 seconds to thank you all for downloading the podcast and tell you about my 6-week top 50 online program. It still blows my mind to see the thousands of downloads every week, so thank you all so much. What if I told you you could lose body fat, build muscle or tone up all without putting your life on hold? One of the things that irks me in fitness is people saying that you need to train for an hour and a half every day or do loads of cardio to get in good shape, or silly things like you need to avoid putting milk in your coffee or completely eliminate alcohol or else you're going to get fat. The truth is you can get into incredible shape by eating certain foods, timing your meals properly and following a training program that is in exact alignment with your specific goals. And you can do this without putting your life on hold. The right program should fit into your lifestyle and schedule and not the other way around. Whether you're a guy or a girl, think about how good it would feel losing body fat and building muscle or toning up, all because you have the right systems in place. You didn't have to starve yourself, you didn't have to spend hours and hours in the gym, or even try and piece together different workouts and nutritional plans together yourself in the hope that they worked. With my top 50 program, you'll have a full blueprint on how to best time your meals, what foods to eat, all your macro calculations, and different recipes to help keep you on track. My philosophy on nutrition is to help you find the strategies, foods, and systems that work best for your lifestyle and goal, so your diet just becomes the way you eat and not a diet you're following. Also, have you ever found yourself thinking, am I doing this exercise right? Or is this the best way to lose fat, tone up, or build muscle? I remember that feeling too well. Imagine the peace of mind knowing exactly how to do every exercise at home or in the gym and knowing that your training program is in exact alignment with your specific goals and seeing your body composition change as a result. Everyone has different nutritional preferences, lifestyles, and schedules, and my Top 50 program is the only program where I work with each person through the Top 50 Facebook group. Here I do weekly Q&As with everyone in the program, and this is where we can tweak and adapt training and nutrition to make the program perfect for you. Not only that, but you'll also have one of my online coaches working with you Monday to Friday to make sure that there's no stone left unturned in getting you into amazing shape. Every program is capped to 50 people, so once the group hits 50 people, it closes until the next round. So for more information or to sign up for the next 6-week Top 50 online program, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com, or email me on brian@briankeenfitness.com. And thanks again for listening. I think that's a great answer. I think my audience are going to get a lot from that because it's a transition that a lot of people listening are either have gone through recently or are going through or are still at that point where they really, really care about how they look, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but when it starts to dictate the direction of your life in a negative way, it might be worth reevaluating there. So I think they'll get a lot of value from that, knowing that it's not one thing that happens, that it's a gradual progress.
I think one thing we need to pick up here is it's also a fact that I give zero fucks to what everyone else thinks about.
Yes, I know.
And the minute people can stop caring about what other people think about their body or their deadlift or the form that they have when they do a chin-up, you will have so much more success. I walk into the gym and, you know, quite often I'll be training with someone and they'll be like, oh my God, are you seeing what that guy's doing? And I'm like, no, I don't care what other people are doing because I'm not in a place where I should be judging other people. They might be doing a deadlift with a rounded back for a purpose. I don't know that. Probably not. But my point is, I'm not concerned with other people and I don't let their kind of judgment of me concern me because I'm a confident person. I value myself. I do things for my own reasons. And I think once we can get to that place, you then really start to do things for your own reasons. And that is quite an enriching and uplifting and kind of freeing feeling.
That's awesome. That's definitely going to help loads. I've even taken a little bit from that. So thank you. Ben, one of the things I talk about a lot on the podcast is I read a lot. I would be a vivacious reader and I regularly mention books on the podcast. Apart from your own books, which I'll link as well, hopefully in the show notes, is there any one book that you think everybody on the planet would benefit from reading? Assuming it's not Paul Check's How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy, which it might be. Is there any book that you recommend that, look, this could change the lives for most people?
This is a really hard question because I've probably read about 400 or 500 books. Yeah. So it's now a case of, Ben, give me a book out of that 400 or 500. I mean, this, like, I'm a massive fan of reading about nutrition, training, but also personal development, mindset, business, because I want to be successful in every area of my life, not just fitness, even though fitness is my business and it is my life. I'm a massive fan of How to Be Brilliant by Michael Hapel. That is an incredible book. Ryan Holiday, The Obstacle is the Way. That's a great book. Simon Sinek's work is incredible. You know, I don't read many nutrition books anymore because I have a great base knowledge of nutrition, and a lot of the evolution that I need to be aware of in nutrition is kind of written about in kind of research and actually me experiencing what's happening with my own body and my clients in maybe my group coaching programs or whatever. So a lot of the books I read are kind of around personal development topics.
Yeah.
A massive passion of mine currently is psychology.
Yeah.
Why we do things, how we do them. Not for my own benefit, because I feel that I've been through a huge mental journey myself to come to a very good, mentally strong place, but to be able to coach other people, because the majority is most people know what healthy food is. Eat vegetables, eat fruits, eat shit that was grown and, you know, didn't have much stuff added to it. We know this. We know if we eat too much, we get fat. That's your fault for eating too much of that. But why did that occur? And I want to know all that stuff. And that's my current major interest, which is human psychology.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually on that path myself now as well. Very, very similar. So I must get some of the best books. I'll keep an eye on the books that you're linking up on your Instagram stories, I'm sure. All right, I'm actually going to reframe this question that I normally ask slightly. If you could go back to your 16-year-old self, what's the advice you would give him, whether it is nutrition, mindset, probably psychology based, if you could bring yourself back to that point and offer him advice right now, what would you say to him?
Always ask yourself why you're doing something. And I think part of what we've already talked about today is kind of, I kind of feel that I was reflective on some stuff too late in life. So if we're not sure and we need to test an outcome, then don't be too hard on yourself and just roll with it. So, for example, if you don't know how a training program is going to pan out, just do it and pan out and learn from it. But there was loads of things that I did when I was younger, training-wise, nutrition, business, career, where I didn't get to the end of the week and go, why did I do all that stuff? Did it have a successful outcome? Was there a reward? Have I progressed? And that's what I now call reflective planning. So every week I'll have an hour, or quite often it's only about half an hour now, where I have reflective planning. And I reflect on the week, and it enables me to plan for the week ahead. Was anything in my training, did it suck? So last week, for example, my diet, I've just reflectively planned my diet. I was unhappy with how much good food I ate last week. So this week I've planned to shop twice in my week to make sure that I can buy a lot more nutrient-dense food, because I found that I was running out of fresh food at the end of the week and I was eating more convenience food. Not that these convenient foods were bad, they just weren't as good. And I've just spent 2.5 weeks with a cold. I've never had 2.5 weeks with a cold, like, ever. I usually get it for like 3 or 4 days. So for me, that tells me something. My body in some way is too stressed, and I know I can support that by A, taking a bit more time off, B, backing off training, which I have done. I haven't trained for 2.5 weeks. And C, supporting my immune system and my health by ramping up my nutrient intake. Like today, you know, I've already had sprouted grains, a salad the size of your head, like loads of stuff. But I only did that by taking half an hour, 20 minutes out of my day or out of my week to say, what did I not like and what can I do better next week?
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. I think that's something that everyone could learn from in any aspect of life. I think you could channel that into anything, really.
Of course, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to throw a couple of rapid fire questions at you now, Ben. This is my favorite part. So you can expand on these. You can give one word answers. Whatever you feel best will provide value and whatever you want to go on. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. When you think of the word successful, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
Richard Branson. He did what he wanted, how he wanted, when he wanted. He changed the game in so many different industries. He ventured into different industries. He lives life to the full. He always seeks adventure. He's an adrenaline junkie. Hats off to the man every day. And he has had some of the biggest PR failures in history, but never stopped and kept on going. And even his kind of, you know, he keeps stabbing at space flight. Like, the guy just keeps going, and he spent probably billions on doing this stuff. And yeah, I think he's an incredible man.
Awesome. What purchase of £100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 months?
Oh, wow. What is that? Actually, it's very recent. I've just bought an indoor spinning bike for my home office. Nice. So whenever I have to take a phone call, do a couple of emails on my phone, I jump on the bike. And even if it's for 5 minutes, I just try and get a bit more exercise into my legs. And that basically means the more I burn, the more I can eat. And I love food.
Great advice. What is the worst advice you see or hear being dispensed in your world? Fitness, nutrition, with trainers, whatever it is that you see.
Man, where do you start? Jesus. Probably maybe my biggest pet hate is that you need diet shakes to lose weight. You know, everyone knows I'm a massive hater of Herbalife and all that kind of stuff. So look, you don't need a particular thing to lose weight. You need to find a way that works for you, that creates a calorie deficit, and you need to be healthy alongside doing that.
I love it. And I have no comment because I'm not allowed to comment. So we'll move on to the next one. If you could have a one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Be awesome.
Love it. What's something you believe that other people think is insane?
Nothing. Everything that I say is brilliant. And everyone...
Touché. Touché. How has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success, or do you have a favorite failure of yours?
Oh, I've had a lot. You know, we've kind of talked about business a little bit. I have just spent the last 3 months fighting bankruptcy. It's been my biggest business lesson. A lot of things evolved and changed very quickly in our business. Things scaled up, and you know, I've been self-employed ever since I was 19, really, now. So I'm still well seasoned in my career. But, you know, the bigger you get, the harder you can fall. And I think I've just learned so much about the motives of people. And ultimately, people are selfish. And that's not a bad thing. That's the human brain. That's us as animals. So I think whenever I enter a situation now or an environment, I'm fully aware of why someone might take a particular action to safeguard or benefit themselves. So throughout this kind of business journey, I've learned a huge amount about human psychology, why people do things, the dynamics of situations, what things actually mean to people in real life, what are tangible things that people want and need. And yeah, I just think, you know, the harder you fall, the better you're going to be. And, you know, so many people that I meet say they're scared to start a diet. They're scared to confront a relationship because it's holding them back. They're scared to go self-employed. They're scared to leave their job. They're scared to do whatever. Look, none of us know the perfect answer. I can't give you the perfect advice. You can't give people the perfect advice. We can give advice based on experience that we hope it will pan out in the way. But you've got to exercise Nike's slogan. Just do it. You've got to do it. You've got to roll with the punches. You've got to find out the hard way. It's like coming back to the training plan. If you don't know how it's going to pan out, just do it. If it's not going right after 2 weeks, the worst thing is you can change it. And, you know, there's always time in the day to solve a situation. If something happens in my day, the worst thing that's going to happen is I might need to stay up all night and sort it out. You know, so there's always time to fix problems. And that was a roundabout way to answer your question. But I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot from some very, very expensive kind of mistakes that have happened over the last year or so.
No, that's brilliant. That's a real, I love that, that asking yourself literally what is the worst thing that can happen, because normally the answer is never as bad as you think. You're always thinking the worst. And a lot of the times it's that you have to stay up all night and fix it. You forego a night's sleep or something to that effect. And that's normally how a lot of problems are. Not all of them, but no, that I've taken a lot from what you said there too. So I think that's going to benefit a lot of people. Okay, last question. What is something that you changed your mind about in the last few years? For example, I was from the background of high volume training will build more muscle and it works for everybody, when the fact is that's not the case. It's very individual to each person. And I find that people tend to kind of nail their flag to a post in terms of, well, this is the way you do something. Is there anything that you've changed your mind about over the last couple of years that you believe differently now, and why?
I think something that's constantly changing in my mind at the moment, and this ties into understanding kind of human psychology and behavioral kind of aspects of our behavior, is this kind of, you know, theory that is still very popular in fitness, which is flexible dieting. And in my history and background as a nutritionist, I was very pro kind of paleo to begin with, but ultimately a natural diet. Eat real food. That's it. And then I sort of, you know, intermittent fasting became popular, and then if it fits your macros became popular, and I really started to adopt it. And then I started to see through coaching and practical application that all of these things succeed and fail in a multitude of people. If it fits your macros, it's not a perfect system. Clean eating is not a perfect system. And what I've started to understand, and this is something that I've talked a lot about with Tom Bainbridge, who works on our education course a lot, is that it's amazing how when someone comes into a situation, their background, their beliefs, and their emotions will dictate 100% their success rate, depending on what you give them to succeed with. I've had incredible results with a client, giving them a 7-day diet plan, a training plan for 4 weeks, telling them to go, telling them to be perfect, and they go and they do it. There's certain character traits that lead them to be able to do that, and they thrive in that environment. There's other people that are emotionally attached to food, and they have to have this kind of different coping mechanisms around food. And then we start to explore kind of a restricted, if it fits your macros, eating style to help that kind of person. And then there's other people that, you know, really don't do well on that because they value other things in their life, like health. You know, there's certain things that they don't like. So, like, I kind of got really pro if it fits your macros, and then I'm not steering away from it, but I'm being objective as a practitioner. I'm starting to say to myself, why do we use this, and how do we use this, and when is it not appropriate? Because it is not appropriate in a huge amount of instances. So I think that's going to change again as I sort of evolve as a practitioner, as we understand more about food and the human mind. And by no means have I created a perfect system yet. I'm working on it. I'm trying to create this process, you know, or maybe some kind of questionnaire where people find out what their character type is and what their perfect diet should be. Because we're starting to go down this genetic testing route, and genetics is kind of great to a degree, but our mind controls every action.
Yeah.
Our emotions control our drivers to do something. So if we program based on the mind, I think we have better potential success rates.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's something that, as you said, picking up on the trends, and I actually believe a couple of readings I've been doing myself, that that's the way it's going to be. The next trend that comes is people doing it that way. Ben, I just want to say a massive thank you, because I know how busy you are and how crazy your schedule is. Where can my audience find out more about you, and tell us a bit more about your tour to Ireland that you'll be here this time next month?
Sure. I will be in Ireland on the 30th of May. Over in Dublin. I'll also be in Belfast as well. I'm doing two seminars. The first one is basically my 10 years and my brain into 3.5 hours, where I talk about goal setting, diet, nutrition, how to build a diet, recovery, performance, supplementation, sleep, stress, environmental triggers, and basically leave people with a blueprint to say, well, this is me and this is how I need to build my life for optimal health. That's what I aim to achieve in that seminar. And then there's also a 3.5 hour session for coaches. It's a personal development session for personal trainers, where I sit them down and we talk about how to get more clients, how to use social media, how to progress in your kind of business and your career. Again, using kind of really my experience of the last 10 years of being in the game. So you can find details for that on Eventbrite, that really popular event website. Just type in Ben Coomber UK Tour and you'll find it. And then otherwise, I'm Ben Coomber everywhere, COOMBER. The podcast is Ben Coomber Radio. Facebook's my most active platform. I like to try and do interesting things on Instagram and Instagram stories. I'm not one of these fancy photo types. Like, it's a bit more of a real Instagram
yes,
platform, if I'm honest. I don't have the perfect abs and I don't take the perfect photo of my sliced apple with nut butter on top. But yeah, I am kind of quite all over the internet, so people should be able to find me.
Brilliant. And I'll be linking all of Ben's, the Eventbrite and all of the social media platforms in the show notes and across my social media, so guys, so just click on through on that. Ben, a massive thank you again, and best of luck on your tour.
You're welcome, dude. Thank you for having me. And if anyone wants to reach out, you know where I am. That's why we do this kind of stuff, to help people.
Awesome. Thank you, mate. Massive thank you to my guest, Ben. I hope you guys got loads of value from this episode. I'm going to link all his tour details on my Facebook page, Instagram, and Snapchat as well. And for anyone that wants to go check out his nutritional tour or his personal training tour, he's going to be in Dublin, Belfast, and Galway. So the details will be on my social media. Thanks again to Ben. Thanks again for listening. Catch you guys soon.
Hey everyone, as a thank you to everyone who subscribed to my podcast, I'm giving away 2 free programs every week for the month of April, 1 for each episode. My 2 flagship programs are the BTF online program, which is my male and female program that has everything you need to build muscle, lose body fat, and tone up. Each version is based around your specific goals. And my GA Lean Body program, which is all the tools you need to get into incredible shape, whether that's to build muscle, tone up, or lose body fat, while simultaneously improving your performance so you're fitter, faster, and stronger on the pitch. For a chance to win whichever program fits your goals best, just subscribe to my podcast and leave an honest review. I'll be picking 2 winners every week. Winners will be announced on my Snapchat, BrianK019, so be sure to follow me on there to see if you've won. I'm picking the winners from random reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, so thanks again for downloading and subscribing, and best of luck to everyone. You can't get enough.